The days of Noah, Hebrews 11, verse 7. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, "By faith, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." That's the text for our meditation. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest prophecy yet unfulfilled. And you'll find that the people of God all over the world today who are waiting upon God, sensitive to the mind of God, the things of God, they are all watching. What are they watching? For the coming of the Lord. God wants you to know that His coming is imminent. And the world does not know or realize the impending judgment that is to become upon planet Earth when the church is raptured, taken home to glory, and when the Antichrist would come to rule the world. Life seemed to go on business as usual. Eat, drink, and be merry. We have much goods laid up for the future. The world feels very secure with this make-believe sense of prosperity. Our Lord Jesus, while he was on earth, warned us that the days leading to his coming again will be like the days of Noah. He says this in Matthew 24, 37 to 39. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Dear friends, this is the deception today, as it was in Noah's time, just before God brought on a global flood that destroyed the whole world. Three thoughts that we want us to see in our text here from Hebrews 11, verse 7. Our privilege, verse 7a. Our response, verse 7b. And our blessing, verse 7c. Our privilege, that's the first thought. Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Our first thought is the privilege that is accorded to Noah. The Bible says he was being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Here we see how God visited Noah with his sovereign grace. It was God who came to Noah. Note that Noah was a passive party in his encounter with his Creator God, the living and true God, the Creator of heaven and earth, condescended himself and revealed himself to Noah. What did God say to Noah? Well, the Lord said that he's going to send a global flood, and he's going to judge the world with the flood. And all men who do not know him would perish. A very scary proposition. And it's interesting that the Lord chose Noah. And the Lord chose to make his plans known to Noah. God favored Noah. God was gracious to Noah. Among the billions of people that were on earth during the pre-flood world. He was special in the eyes of God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. To him, God made known the future. To him, God told him that he would send a tsunami of such great proportions that he would destroy the known world at that time. All the fountains of the great deep will be broken up, and the windows of heaven would open. You see, at that time before the flood, the earth was covered by an envelope of water, and that protected the earth from all the radiations that would come in from outer space. And that envelope provided a safe environment for men to live. Right? Before the flood, the Bible tells us that men lived to many hundreds of years. Right? It was only after the flood, when the water canopy that envelopes the earth was destroyed, right, that the age of men, right, Noah tells us, the book of Genesis tells us in chapter 6, that the age of men goes down to 120 years. And until today, scientists do not have the formula to enable men to live more than 120 years. And, you know, the studies of genetics, they have found that there seemed to be a barrier there, a limit. Well, the Lord wants us to know that God came to Noah to warn him of the judgment to come. And this is what we want us to think about, the privilege of Noah. Who was Noah? Well, he was not any different from the people living in his world. Why should God reveal the future to him? Noah too inherited the sin nature after the fall of Adam. But the Bible says in Genesis 6 verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How can men find grace, favor in the eyes of God? It's not by our own strength, but it is God who first visited us. It is God who first came to us, who extended his love toward us. And we want us to see that Noah, being warned of God, is a significant statement here that underscores his privilege. Because he was a sinner, like the rest of the world, lost and undone. Right? But God was gracious to him to show him the truth. Noah was saved. The way we are saved, looking to the Messiah God, the God of Israel, Jesus Christ. And as we look at this text, we want us to think that God's encounter with Noah and the great privilege that God had accorded to Noah, that this is the same privilege that God has given to us. God has given to us his word to tell us that there is a judgment that is going to come upon this planet Earth. The first judgment is by water, but the second judgment that is to come is by fire, and there is no escape from that deluge to come, except in Jesus Christ. And the Lord tells us that we have that privilege of hindsight. God gave us His Word to warn us. What should be our response? That's our second thought. The privilege, the response, the second part, 11b. Noah was moved with fear, our text tells us, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What was Noah's response? Noah believed God. This was a man who had encountered God and knew that God meant every word he said and said what he meant. And the Bible tells us how there was a stirring in his heart. He was moved with fear. The fear of God was in his heart. God moved Noah's heart to respond to his warning by putting his fear in Noah's heart. And fear is not a negative emotion that God gave to Noah. It was a wake-up call. It was a bell, a gong. Real sounding to wake them up of the trouble that is coming. And Noah was stirred in his heart to flee into the safety of God because of the approaching danger. It was a signal to provoke his soul to watchfulness and sobriety, to lifelong action. And the Bible tells us that the days of Noah is like the days prior to the coming of the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be that watchful, be that vigilant, to realize that we are in those hours. Noah was moved with fear because he saw the wickedness in the world all around him. The Bible tells us that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of man was only evil continually. Can you imagine what the Lord is saying here concerning the heart of man? That it was only evil continually. There is no repentance, inkling of repentance in the heart of these people. Evil had overwhelmed their heart. And you know, after the church is taken up to glory, after the rapture, all that would remain behind upon earth, the Lord is going to judge the world. We were studying the book of Revelation with our youths and how the judgments of God comes severely. And the Lord wants us to know so that we may take action. God revealed this to Noah and he realized the depraved state of mankind. And you know, at that time the world was filled with violence. Noah was moved with fear. The truth of God's coming judgment was effectual in his heart. By faith, the Bible says, he took action to prepare for the coming global destruction. What did he do? He put his house in order. He got ready. God gave him instructions to prepare himself for this disaster. He was to build an ark. It was so massive an endeavor that Noah had to devote all his time, all his effort, all his attention to this preparation. And the Bible tells us that Noah believed God. The fear of God was in him, and he did all that the Lord commanded him to do. Genesis 6:22 speaks of his humble, complete obedience to the will of God. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He did not question God why he should only make one window in the ark. Why is it 3-story and not 4? Why one door? He understood the wisdom of God, and he obeyed and followed every instruction. You see, Noah exercised a resolute obedience to the task of building the ark by simple faith. Now, we want us to see that everything was business as usual. Everything was calm. Right? There is no clue as to what is going to come. Everything seems so normal and well. It would take him some time to build the ark. Well, we see that Noah gave a godly response to the privilege God had given to him. By the fear of God, he worked and prepared while the world around him was complacent and oblivious to God's coming judgment. Thus, Noah prepared an ark, the Bible says, to the saving of his house. Dear friends, do you see how we are in a similar situation to Noah's? God has visited us with his gracious offer of salvation, and God has warned us through his word of things not seen as yet. But will we do like what Noah did? Will we prepare ourselves? Would we prepare our family? The people around us? Are we moved with fear to make preparation? Or do we think that it's going to be business as usual? You just take your time. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest prophecy yet unfulfilled in the Bible. And it is also a sorely neglected doctrine in the church today. Not that Christ's second coming has not been preached, but there seems to be a lack of a fear of God in the hearts of church members today to arouse them to prepare. Their lives don't show. Their lives don't show that they are preparing to go to heaven. As we watch disasters unfolding before our very eyes, does it not cause us to fear the wrath of God and realize his return is nigh? If the world had known that the 26th December 2004 tsunami an undersea earthquake of the magnitude of 9.1, making it the third largest earthquake ever recorded, with an epicenter of the west coast of Sumatra. Would the 225,000 people from 11 countries who perished in the tsunami? The tsunami waves were more than 100 feet high. Many perished. And the Lord wants us to be forewarned, is to be forearmed. You know, at that time, we received a call of, for this. And, you know, there were some brethren out in the mission fields in these countries which were hit by the tsunamis. And truly, we hear reports of near-death experience, escaped. Today, there is another warning of a greater judgment that will affect more than 225 souls from these 11 countries. We are speaking about a judgment that is global. Will the people heed the warning nearer home? How can we protect the people of God, our spouses, our family members, our children, our Sunday school students, fellowship group friends, colleagues, neighbors, from the temptation and struggles of life? What is the antidote to counter this overwhelming tide of wanton, unrestrained, euphoric, hedonistic, eat, drink, and be merry lifestyle? This is what the world is experiencing now. For the last 40 years, there has been unprecedented prosperity. Unprecedented prosperity built upon debt. And men and women could spend all they would want to. And today, governments go about giving out handouts to the people in order that consumption is stimulated without doing an equivalent amount of work. But this system, we see, cannot sustain itself. And yet, you know, the people are enjoying it. How can we prepare our loved ones and friends so that all will enter the ark, just like Noah's family did? Well, the Bible tells us that when he understood the truth concerning the judgment to come, he went about informing the world concerning the judgment. And what did he do? He preached for more than 100 years while the ark is being built to tell the people concerning the judgment. And yet, no one took heed. At the end, only his family, 3 sons, 3 daughters-in-laws, his wife, 8, were saved. Out of more than 1 billion people upon earth. Why like that? Well, there seemed to be a kind of a drunkenness that befalls the world. Deception that befalls the world today. And the Lord wants us to have our spiritual eyes open to see. And thank God that Noah saw, Right, that's our third thought. Our blessings, right, our privilege, our response, and our blessings. Our text tells us two aspects that God would bless His people. Right, two aspects. Salvation, that's the first part of verse 7c, and rewards of a godly life, that's the second part. Salvation, by the which He condemned the world. The word condemned means to judge against, or to judge worthy of punishment. Noah, by his submission to God, set himself an example against the evil and the wicked in his generation who refused God's truth. His very obedience to God in the building of the ark and the preparing of his family was a judgment against the mockers and scoffers who by their unbelief perished when God sent the flood. And so the ark was a visible picture of the judgment. You know, we are repainting this building now. And we hope that the Lord would enable us to continue by His mercy in this ministry that He has entrusted to us to do. Only by the mercy of God that we can carry on and continue this work. And we must not take for granted the time that we have. We don't know really how much time we have. And therefore, whatever time that God has given to us, may we not waste it. May we realize that what is lost, the time that is used in building ourselves a position, a piece of real estate in this world, will not stand us in good stead for the eternity to come. We are not saying that you stop all things, stop working, not doing anything. But what we are saying here is that you are to be watchful. You are to be actively sharing the gospel, actively reaching out to the people around you concerning the message of salvation, concerning the need of their souls. Right, we are organizing our gospel rally on the 4th of September. And we are going out to invite our friends to come. Do we profit from this work? Well, we can only say that God will reward us in eternity. Right? The effort that you put in for the gospel, the Lord knows. And the Lord will bless you richly with a heavenly inheritance to come. And while we are on earth, the Lord tells us that we are to count our blessings by the which He condemned the world. Noah, in the building of the ark, was a witness against the world. And this was his responsible response to the privilege God bestowed upon him when He chose him to be His witness against the world. May God be pleased similarly to make us His witnesses in this world, in our time, as a channel of blessing wherever He chooses to place us. The world then and the world now is not worthy of God. It has always rebelled against Him. They don't want God. But who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? As I've mentioned before, if you go to the HDB blocks around this estate, you'll find that out of 10 households, 7 idol worshippers. They all perish without Christ, without God. And what are we doing with our lives? Are we making ourselves more comfortable with the things of this world, preparing ourselves to live on earth forever? Well, the Lord wants us to not to be winged, to have our spiritual eyes open to this deception that is going on in our world today. God condemned the world through Noah's preparation. He built his ark. He built the ark. He prepared his family and he preached to the world. And this is the same that we do. And God had deemed it fit to choose him to be the recipient of such a blessing. Indeed, it was a great honor that God gave to him. And you can see in the life of Noah that there was a determination in his heart to live a life for God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9. Shall we read together? Genesis chapter 6. Verses 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now this is a very interesting phrase. Noah walked with God. Right? Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Solomon walked with God, with the living and true God. And every time this phrase is used, right, the God, Elohim, the triune God, with a definite article, it describes the living and true God, the creator of heaven and earth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you know Him, you have everything. But if you don't know Him, you have nothing. And the Lord wants us to know how this man lived perfect. What do you mean by the word perfect? The word perfect does not mean that he did not sin. But he was a man who loved God. And when if he had sinned, he would have confessed his sin before God, make right with God. And God blessed this man. He lived a life of righteousness before God, not of sinlessness, but of constant submission to God. Noah lived a surrendered life. He surrendered his ambition to God and in turn made his life goal, the complete, no question asked execution of God's will. The Bible is saying to us that the Lord is coming again, and the only safety, the only escape for mankind is the ark of Jesus Christ. And do you know that today all the violence that's going on around the world is targeted on the Christians and the Jews. There is an overwhelming tide, anti-God tide, that is proliferating worldwide today. And we believe that it would lead to the coming, the rising of the evil one. And the Lord wants us to see and know the situation confronting us now and make preparations. Noah focused his efforts on what really mattered in the light of God's revelation to him. Dear friends, the world today continues to focus its efforts on building yet bigger barns and taller buildings. When one structure is torn down, another bigger, taller, grander, more ostentatious, more spectacular edifice is built in its place. Indeed, on the very site where the Twin Towers once stood in New York City, now arises a new superstructure called the One World Trade Center, 104 floors with an antenna rising up to 1,776 feet, making it the tallest building in the U.S., surpassing even the Twin Towers it replaced, and third in the world. Just as symbolically, the world is preparing for the rise of the one whom it thinks is its savior, the Antichrist, to save it from its woes. And we believe that the Lord, before he would judge the world, would receive his church to glory, the rapture of the church. How do we escape from the coming judgment of God? Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will save us and our family. Dear friends, is there a holy submission to God and his word in your life? Salvation is the first blessing. And secondly, the rewards of a godly life, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah received a righteous man's reward by faith. He and his family moved or passed from the old world to the new world. He inherited the new world together with his family. All who believed did not perish in the global cleansing that God meted out upon all mankind. And the Lord wants us to know that indeed we are to be ready, to be prepared. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3, 10 to 13 as we conclude. 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 to 13. 2 Peter 3, 10 to 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let us be awakened to the signs of the times. We are living in the days of Noah. May the truth of God's word convict and convince us that his ways is best, and we may we live a surrendered life, reordering our lives, especially to warn our family members that they may be protected. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. May thou be merciful to bless thy people with thy truth. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.